Funnels are not companies. A funnel is, again, a way to automate the offer and the message. That's it. It's a revenue engine. But it's not like companies didn't exist before people started building funnels, right? Funnels aren't companies. They're a revenue arm for them. So you still got to build the company.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my baby business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey to $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's going on? It's Steve Larson. Hey guys, thanks for being here and listening to the show. I'm going to be sharing with you the audio of a Facebook Live I actually just did. And the reason I'm doing this little intro here for it is to just tell you that some of the visuals might be very helpful in what I'm going to be teaching. That's not to say that the audio isn't valuable also. My purpose in this episode is to teach people what I do and what I design after the funnel is built. I've done another episode similarly called Designing Fulfillment Like a Funnel, but I think this will give more context on why this matters so much. It is not enough to just put a funnel out. Right? Funnels are not companies. It's not like companies didn't exist prior to how we all think about sales funnels. And so funnels are just very, very, very powerful ways to automate a sales message and an offer. And depending on how you use them, start spreading your hook around. But that's not to say it's the business, because it isn't. And so what do you do after the funnel is up and works? And how does that affect the rest of the company? And what I kind of shared in this Facebook Live is us drawing a lot. And I think that you'll still get a lot out of this just by listening to it. But really, the funnel is the tip of the iceberg in terms of the automation and the structure that really sustains the funnel. I'll give this as an example. In the Army, only 15-20% of the military is actually combat. And most people don't know that. The other 80-85% is how much it takes to support the combat 15-20%. It takes that many people to make sure those 15-20% have the beans and bullets that they need. This is very similar to how to think about how a sales funnel actually works. Think of the funnel in terms of the thing that is out there on the ground getting the work done, right? But in terms of what I actually design, it's easily just the 20%. There is an entire additional 80% of what I actually do with that funnel, the automations I put in place, the systems that go in after the funnel is up and working. And so my intention behind this was to share a little bit more about what really goes on with the funnel after it's up and how it works in order for a company to actually interface with that business. I've noticed that there's a pattern, and I'll talk about this briefly in what I'm about to cut to in a moment, but I've noticed that there's a pattern in that most existing companies know they want a sales funnel, but don't know how to interface their existing systems with it. They want a funnel. I've noticed also, and that's a stereotype, not all are like that, okay? There's also the exact opposite is also stereotypically true. If you came from the One Funnel Away challenge, if you really didn't have a successful business prior to learning what funnels were, this isn't a problem that most of that category has run into because they didn't have a business to interface with in the first place. They could build the business around the funnel at the same time. But for those of you who have a business and have a company, this has been... I got two more full-day consulting days that I'm doing it in next week, actually. It's one of my favorite all-time things that I do. But this is honestly one of the most consistent questions and concerns and struggles that existing companies have when they're building a funnel. They know they need one. How do you interface with it? What do you do with all that data after you have it? How do you actually tie it into your existing fulfillment? And that's what I'm going to share with you guys in this. So I'm going to cut over to the audio of what I just did Facebook Live about. Again, I'm drawing a lot on it. If you want to watch it, I'll probably put the video on my YouTube, but for right now, it's in my Facebook group and it's a free thing to join. You just go join it. And but it's a private group though. So just go request access if you want to, or you can just listen to this audio and get the main nuts and bolts of what I'm teaching here. Guys, I think you'll appreciate this. And this is really what I do. This is, in my opinion, what it means to run a company. Whereas most of the time I talk about just how to sell stuff through a funnel. And how I kind of link the two together and my expectations of both those very unique but important processes. Let's dive in. You know, what is the funnel all about? A sales funnel is nothing more than an automated offer and message. That's it, right?
A sales funnel is an automated offer and message. That's it. Right? Design is the final. Design comes when 99% of the funnel is already done. I don't even think about the design until I can have a sexy offer and message, right? And what's getting them in is the hook. That's what controls traffic. If you got sucky hooks, you'll probably have sucky traffic. Traffic is a messaging thing. So then where does this fit in terms of the rest of the business model? This is where I kind of was started with the story here. Okay. When I was over at ClickFunnels, we were selling this offer. We were selling this thing. So what I did is I put in this like therefore system. I want you to think of everything that you build on the internet is a therefore system. Cool. Because we have this funnel and because somebody buys, therefore what needs to happen next? So what I did is this also very much comes from like when I started building funnels for others and I realized that funnels are not companies. A funnel is, again, a way to automate the offer and the message. That's it. It's a revenue engine, but it's not like companies didn't exist before people started building funnels, right? Funnels aren't companies. They're a revenue arm for them. So you still got to build the company. And so what I did was I was like, all right, now that I have I'll do a little training here today, if that's cool. That was my purpose for getting going live. Instead of doing the normal cash flow Mondays, I just want to teach you what I'm doing right now. We have to be able to automate everything that we can to the nines, as much as possible, all the stuff that it takes to fulfill really, really well in this business. And one of the reasons why this is such a powerful concept is because it helps. This is how I visualize taking the funnel and tying it into the rest of normal business functions. So like I have 2 full day consultations next week. I do a lot of more consulting now than I've probably let on. And I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do. But what I'm looking for, what I'm not doing to them, when I walk into them and I say, hey, like, let's help you with your internet sales. I'm not walking in and saying, scrap everything you're doing in the past, right? You have to look at the funnel with the rest of the business in one flow, right? And we had this high ticket funnel that we were building. And I think it was for the original 2 Comma Club coaching program. And I spent 6 months helping, you know, organizing and putting together that offer for it and going through all of Russell's stuff and like putting together this program, 6 months, and then went in and started building the funnel and put the funnel together. Now we had sales guys in the back who were selling this thing with a very similar funnel as this, right? And what I started noticing was that like we could drive a ton of traffic and, you know, let's say 1,000 people come to this page and then, I don't know, 100 people are making it to the schedule page and I don't know, 10 people are showing up. Those numbers suck, but you know what I'm saying? I'm just giving an example of like, I was like, oh, this is cool to watch, but like what happens afterwards? So what I started getting really, really, really into was all the automation of what needed to happen after the funnel was built for the business to know what to do with the funnel. Okay, this is a big, big, big lesson. This was like, because most companies don't know how to actually interface with a funnel. They're like, I want a funnel, but they don't know how to interface with it. Like so much so that when we were building funnels for Marcus Lemonis for the TV show, The Prophet, you guys have seen that show, right? And there was 5 different episodes for that show that we built funnels for. And to watch the aftermath in each of those companies after putting the funnel into them, that was very valuable for me to watch. And I remember I was in the room, man. Russell and Marcus were talking. Marcus was like, hey, man, like you guys got these awesome funnels. They're incredible. And Russell was like, yeah, but they're like sitting in the driveway, you know, meaning he told him, he's like, we built the equivalent of like, you know, a Lamborghini, but it's gassed up sitting in the driveway and like no one's really even touched it. And we were frustrated and he was frustrated. And he said, Russell, no one knows what to do with it. And which is why I put out that podcast episode a little while ago called Treat Your Sales Funnel Like a Salesperson. What would you expect of a salesperson working for your company? Cool. Have the same exact expectations for the funnel, right? You're going to wake up. There's going to be morning routine. There's going to be scripts that they follow, right? This has been one of the biggest problems is that companies lack the nerd in their business to interface with the funnel in the company. And I've noticed that brand new entrepreneurs don't. Why? Because they don't have a business. They don't have a company, right? They're brand spanking new. And I've noticed that it's really interesting to watch that, and this I've noticed this pattern for years, man, years, like brand new people, like let's say One Funnel Away people. How many of you guys went to the One Funnel Away Challenge? The One Funnel Away Challenge rocks, 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 rocks. The brand new challenge, right? Your first funnel rocks, 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 rocks. The brand new entrepreneur coming into that, they don't have a business. They need sales first. And so they build the funnel, they get it out the door, and then they start to experience what it's like to build a company around the funnel. I personally think that's the correct order to do it. Be revenue positive first and then build the business, right? What about the companies who already are a company and they're trying to figure out how to make a funnel work for them inside of their business? And so that's the reason for me going live with you today with you guys is because I wanted to teach you how to think about this. So I thought I'd do a little bit of a training showing you how this all works. Because what I started noticing is when we put, you know, like the first, you know, Tucumbo coaching program out, not the current version. It's, you know, it's been updated each year, but that first version of it, the one I was very involved in, was not looking at the customer, but looking at the employees, looking at support, looking at finance, looking at fulfillment, looking at the shipping center, looking at who's going to manage it, looking at where there's metrics, looking at, does that make sense? We needed a way to beat the drum and keep it consistent. Otherwise, it was like, you know, a lot of people wouldn't know still what to do with the funnel as a whole. And so I started building really aggressive automation for when somebody went in and said, you know, hey, I'm interested. And then they go and then they're on a phone call with the salesperson, right? And they're on this phone call. What now? And I started using ClickFunnels to also structure and automate 99% of fulfillment. And this is a completely different way to use something like ClickFunnels. And it's not common. And a lot of people don't do this or use this. And I get it because most people are still just stuck trying to make sure that their funnel works. And it's like, that's great. But how do you use the same tech to automate a huge portion of your fulfillment? Hopefully this is okay to share because this is like, I don't want to like take anyone off track on like what matters in your company. First, go get the sale. All right. But what my purpose in going live is to share with you what I also think about and have been for 6 years. What most people don't know is when I started building funnels, I actually was really, really, really into Infusionsoft. And what I was doing in college for companies was I was integrations junkie. And so I understood Infusionsoft very deeply. And I would build not just the first few pages. This is before I knew what ClickFunnels was, you know what I mean? So I would, you know, put the few pages together, put the forms together, and then I'd use Infusionsoft and I'd go crank it into all the other follow-up automations. And I mean, I was such an integrations nerd, right? This is another reason I picked up ClickFunnels so quick. It's way easier than Keep or whatever the name is. So I'm not bashing them if you guys are into it. That's great. I get it. There's different needs for different companies. Like I'm not here to smash any software or whatever. But my point here is to teach you how to use the very same ClickFunnels tech to automate your fulfillment for what happens post-sale. Because it's just like an email. You know, and that's fine. I'm not saying it doesn't work, but the degree that you fulfill under is very much determines the degree that someone will probably buy from you again. You're like, fulfill awesomely. Fulfill incredibly. And so what I thought it'd be neat to do is to teach you just a little bit more about what I go through and how I think about these funnels and this tech post-purchase. Okay. Right before going live here, I was looking up a few articles. There's varying opinions on this. That, hey, there's five core. So I'm going to take a little bit of a turn here. Okay. So put a pin in this. I've tried to set up the problem just a little bit, but I thought it'd be kind of neat to kind of go through and walk through again the five core functions of the business. And some people say it's four functions or six functions, whatever, but they're all pretty much variations of this. It's as a company, funnel or not, do you have lead gen? Can you nurture those leads? Can you get them to buy? Can you fulfill? Can you retain and re or upsell them? In my opinion, retainment is part of fulfilling. So I kind of make it so it's like that. I don't like to put retaining as part of resell or upsell. To me, that's like fulfilling and retaining is very similar. Why are they going to stick around if you're not fulfilling? Does that make sense? So now if you look at the five questions, so Alex Sharfin was the one that first taught me about this. Alex is the man, totally love him. He's the man, right? And there's differing opinions around this in standard business consulting, but this is similar to a lot of the ways that a lot of consultants will audit the health of a company. because you got to have some kind of framework when you walk on in. I have my frameworks that I've farmed over years and years and years. And that's what I use to audit a company. And this is like kind of the standard, more business consulting one. But it's important to think about this in how you look at your business. I remember meeting you for the first time I met you. It was probably when I was too hypey. oh, hypey Steve. How damaged you were. Okay. What I want you to do though is let's look at these five core functions of a business. What do people typically use a sales funnel for? Meaning of these functions, what functions here do they assign to a traditional sales funnel? Usually it's sales. You know, if they got like an email, maybe, you know what I mean? Like someone will put some kind of like fulfillment maybe-ish in there. Lead gen, maybe. They'll get leads in terms of that they capture emails when someone opts into a page. But that, in my, like, this is what Marley and I do in YouTube Lead Machine. That's not funnel specific or really funnel-esque at all. This is what you're doing out in the marketplace to create leads, right? I would say more that there's actually more nurture that is happening inside traditional sales funnel building space, right? Where someone opts in and now you have like a follow-up sequence that's asking them to go buy, right? So I would say it's more of that. So you look at this and you're like, there's like major core functions of a business that traditional, and I'm talking straight stereotypes, not everybody, but stereotypically, the tens of thousands of funnels that I have seen and offers and business owners in funnel space, regardless of software, most of them don't do much in here. They usually go to ads. That's fine. It's also a lot of eggs in one basket, right? Most of them don't do much post-purchase. Most of them don't do a lot of resell or upsell. And when you look, right, and fulfillment could use some serious upgrading. It's really just nurture and sales that the traditional sales funnel builder is covering the bases on. And these others, they just don't have the bases covered on. Is this making sense when I'm dropping down here? This is some good crap, right? Because I'm, like, it's one of the biggest issues. And when I'm going in and I'm looking in a company that is working, what do they already have in place? A company that's been around for, you know, let's say 5 years, they have all of those. What they're looking for is to leverage the internet really for these front end pieces. Cause they're like, hey, we got this path. We got that last part down, right? We got this super down. And so that's why my frameworks that I'm so adamant about them. My 12 part framework that I walk through thinks about all of those steps in the entire funnel building thought process. It's not just, what does the page look like? It's what do we do after the fact? It's how do we resell and upsell them? I so bad want to show you guys what I've been designing. I don't know that I'm able to do that just because it's IP, you know. But let me kind of share with you more of how I think about funnels. So let me just kind of draw this out and I'll kind of talk it out for a second here. And I'm at the end of the rope on what I wanted to share. I just wanted to kind of open the eyes on how else to think about funnels. But I thought, let me just take a moment here and kind of teach you more about how I actually think about this. So the first thing that I do is funnel building is actually step 10 of the 12 parts. I didn't think about it at all for a very long time. Let's say I get to the funnel building part though, right? So I get the funnel down and let's say there's a page here and a page here, right? Oh, a little downsell and there's a thank you page. Cool, right? It's awesome. When I'm actually going to build the project though, it's actually a different process that I have. That's what my sales funnel officer course is. I'm not pitching it, soft telling you that it exists. I have one 12 part formula that helps me birth the funnel in terms of concepts, but I have another process that I go through where I think through, I'll just kind of preface it a little bit here. When I'm building a funnel, I obviously have to know.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body.
Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
What the offer is. I got to know what the message is. I got to know what the hooks are. Not surprising. I got to know more about what all of the email or other follow-up sequences are. But I'm not done. Right? There's so much more. So when I am designing the actual project for the funnel, what I do is I take the offer stack and internally I teach the team how every single line item in that offer is fulfilled. It's why I laugh when someone will be, let's say like an email doesn't fire. That's why I always build redundancy and fulfillment, by the way. Let's say an email doesn't fire and someone's like, you didn't fulfill this thing. You never fulfill. I'm like, what? I promise I fulfill so much better than the average person. I fulfill so hardcore because it is designed in Lucidchart to the nines, baby. I mean, it is highly, highly detailed. My fulfillment models are like 10 times larger than the funnel design. Like, anyway, I really want to share with you guys what it is. So I use Lucidchart. I used to just draw all the funnels in this, but the problem is it's not very easily transferable to a team. So now I do it in Lucidchart and I draw out all the funnels. And then on the sale, I create a new sheet. And I say, okay, when somebody buys, what happens next? Oh, there's an email that comes. And then what happens? Oh, there is an automation that fires a package out. And then what happens? Oh, 2 months later, there's this thing that goes, oh, what about this? We're at the point now where I pre-design, let's say, so we have a 6-month program that Marley and I are creating right now. It's awesome. It's so good. I'm extremely proud of it. But I've designed 2 emails every week for 6 months. Pre-written sequence that guides somebody through the entire program. Not enough. What else are we doing? There's a mini course and series on top of it that also shoots out. There is packages that periodically and automatically are getting sent at the top of each month. There is strategic voicemails coaxing somebody to continue to go through it. This is the automated piece. Then on top of that, we have program coaches and directors. And does that make sense? The funnel is like in that amount of your actual 5 core functions. There's so much more stuff to think through after that. And this is why I think it is so frustrating when a company will go hire a funnel builder and they're like, yeah, it looks like it's a good funnel, but like, this is what I mean. We don't know how to interface with it. They don't understand how it ties into their existing fulfillment. They don't understand the power of still using something like ClickFunnels for fulfillment. We're at the spot now also that let's say that someone's on a call. Let's go back to the book a call, terrible drawing that I did here. I have a separate page that is just internal for the salesperson to be looking at to make sure that they're looking at the most up-to-date info about the program when they're on the call with the person. It's meant for internal. So I build internal pages for certain key roles in our business. And I make a ridiculous /. That's all this number jumble stuff because I don't ever want anyone else to see it. But it's like, hey, here is the dream customer. If you can tell that you're not talking to the dream customer, don't sell that person, right? And then this one will be like, hey, here's the links for the order pages of the current offering. Hey, here's the calendar of the biggest things coming up so you can talk to them and tell them what's coming up, right? Does that make sense? It's an internal page just for the salesperson. I do that also for onboarding. Now let's say that they've actually purchased and they've gone through and bought there's another page that I have that is just for the onboarding coach. I have another page that's just for the admin. Hey, make sure they got group access. Make sure that they've got access here. Make sure that they know the dates of the next event. Make sure they understand when the call schedule is, right? Admin's crap. Then there's another sheet just for internal. Let me kind of share with you. Actually, let me find one of them, okay? I'm tired of talking. Is this helpful to show, though? Like, this is where I feel like my zone has come out just a little bit more, is in the operations of what you do with the funnel after it's done. Doesn't matter how good the funnel is. If your fulfillment sucks, you're dead, right? And so, let's see here. So I have hardcore formulas for everything in the funnel, but then we got really big formulas for things that are post-sale. So I used to run this program called OfferLab, and I had it for 3 years. It helped launch a ton of people's businesses, and I'm so proud of that. And so we have a sales model for OfferLab if it was at an event. That's a different style of sale and fulfillment than if it wasn't at an event. We have a different fulfillment and sales model if it was just for the phone. All right, so phone model, event model, organic traffic model, ads model, they're all different. And I'm not trying to complicate it. I'm not trying to tell everyone you gotta go like, you know, yeah, okay, so let me share this. All right, check this out. This is how, it's messy as crap, all right? I wasn't planning on sharing this with you guys, but this is how I just brainstorm out what each client goes through when they bought at one of my events, right? So think about it. I'm on stage and I'm pitching. Hey, all you gotta do is open a new tab and go to blah.com and put your $2,000 deposit. That's just this page. That's just that page, man. Look at everything else that happens, right? And I'm making sure I ask for their address, shirt size, what country they're in, and right? That triggers all these things here. It triggered a welcome box from ShipZoom and access to this members area as well as this other piece. That triggered in here an entire ClickFunnels sequence. They're gonna get added to a buyer's list. They're gonna get added to a Slack broadcast, and emails are gonna start getting sent out to them, right? That's just that one step. Then they're gonna go to this next page like, hey, do you wanna pay in full just as an upsell? You don't have to, or as an option, there's some more bonuses if you wanna pay in full. Very cool. If they pay in full, it adds them to the pay in full list and removes them from the didn't pay in full list. I don't want contacts and lots of lists. Right? I remove them from previous lists as I go. There's a lot I would edit from this model from when I was using it a couple of years ago. But just to get the concept down on what I'm talking about here, when I make podcasts, go listen to that podcast episode called Build Fulfillment Like a Funnel. Because this is exactly what I'm talking about here. Right? Then I'm like, all right. And again, I know this is super messy. It's why I started putting in Lucid Charts so it's easier for a team to see it. Right? Now let's say that they didn't take the pay in full option. 2 hours later, we're going to have a seen but not purchased email that asks them again if they want to pay in full, reminding them of the special bonus if they pay in full. Right? On the confirmed page, I'm going to say, hey, here's your onboarding. Make sure that you put in choose a calendar time. All right, make sure that you go back into the live group, because I was doing this at an event. Go back into the event. This is a virtual event, and put hashtag real marketer in the comments so we see that you signed up and we can all celebrate you. Plus it's social proof for everybody else who's in the group who has not bought yet, right? Then return to the event and we're going to get you into the laser coaching raffle. Does this make sense? Awesome. Now, when they're actually time to onboard, all the sequences are reminding them, go onboard, go onboard, go onboard. We need you to go through these things. So step number one, just fill out the program agreement. This is the PDF that pops open and says, hey, it's just the program agreement. It's like, you know, it's the program agreement. Then number two, they're going to choose their payment option. And it's a click pop that makes them go, sweet. You want to send an ACH in with your stuff? Here's the ACH form to download. Or do you want to, or if you're international, open up this new thing because international payments needed to be at that time for us, needed to be handled differently. And it would bring them through a separate international form, right? Then when there was a onboarding, only the coaches see this form. And this is super key, okay? I would have them say, hey, make sure they get access to stuff. Make sure they know the group schedule. Let's review the form that they went through. They did this business assessment that was in WooFoo. And that's how we could get to know the company. And so the coach knew what to talk about with them on the onboarding call, right? We make sure they have partner access. We make sure that we would review that business assessment that they just did over here. And then what the coach did is I would have them put the new client's name and email right here and click submit. This was an opt-in form. No one saw it. They're doing this on the call. Just the coach sees it. And what they did is they would put in this little opt-in form right there, and it would remove them from the, hey, we need to onboard them list, and add them to the, hey, they've been onboarded list. Right. So this is the, when they first buy, it's like new person, right? Onboarding. See that right there? Needs onboarding. That's what I would call the actual list. OfferLab dash needs onboarding. Then when they would get onboarded, it would remove them from the needs onboarding to the onboarded. Right. See right there? It says remove, take them from that. What it would do when these coaches would fire this form is it would send them a recap email of the things that they talked about in the call. How would I be able to automate that? Because I'm controlling what they talk about on the call, right? I'm making sure that they talk about those things so that everyone's experiencing the same onboarding. And if there's ever an issue in the program, I could go back here at the very beginning and make sure that we control the way it's talked about. Does that make sense? Then what I would do is it would fire off a Bonjoro to my phone, which is a cool app that pinging me, telling me a new person is joining the program so I could send him a personalized video. Hey, what's up? I saw that you just onboarded with our coach. Excited to have you. Make sure the first thing you go do is X, Y, and Z, 1, 2, and 3, blah, 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 blah. And then I would click send, and it would send that video automatically from the app to their email from my email. And if they responded to it, it would go back to a coach. Bonjour was a really cool app. Yep. And then it would add automatically, because we were wholesaling ClickFunnels accounts at that time. They're kind of testing that with me. It would add them and their contact list to a sheet that ClickFunnels and I would see that we needed to have constant access to. And when they left the program, we'd go back and take them out of free ClickFunnels access through my program. You guys getting this? All right. Like, think through this stuff. This is so much more. This is what most people will build. Most people don't do any of that. And this is how you control, again, these five core functions of a business. Talk about retainment and upsell. Did everyone succeed? This is a coaching program for him launching their business. If they did it, yeah, really cool, right? But this is how we set that up. And then in the members area, right, we would tell them to go into the members area, and we would always control the same kind of things, lessons that I would see from building a lot over ClickFunnels for Russell's stuff too. We'd add those things into the form. The coach would constantly be updating our CRM along with the sales guy. But this, there's no salesperson involved in this one. I was the salesperson at an event. Whew. That was the event model. If it was the phone model, they would go into our book a call, the phone person would fill out the deposit form, not the person. They wouldn't be on the page, right? They'd be on the phone. So they'd be like, hey, give me your credit card. And they would fill that out right there, and it would still fire off pay in full onboarding, right? If they're going to do this payment option, it's going to be that style of onboarding. It's going to be this option, that style of onboarding. And I'm still using ClickFunnels to design all of my fulfillment out. And right, you can see here's the onboarding call at the coaches. Here's all the stuff that happens during that. And so what I do is I design all the stuff prior to ever building the funnel. This is thought through before I ever go build something. And it's so that when we're building the funnel, we build all this too. And so I'm telling, like, if there's a funnel builder on my team, or there is, you know, a coach that we're trying to onboard, I can teach them, do you know what your job is, new person on my team? Let me tell you, your job is, I don't know, let me just make it up. You're doing this part right there. Master that. Because this is where they're coming from, just for context. You're not going to talk to them until they've gone through this, which means they've gone through these things. Then you're going to hand them off and the next person. Does that make sense? This is how I train people. I think of it like an assembly line. You know, it's just a big, all business, just a huge assembly line. And I can design it highly, highly detailed. One of the reasons I've been a little bit quiet in the last few, I mean, honestly, the last year, is because of a lot of insights from doing this now, where I'm like, okay, how can I design a machine that is highly valuable, low time, high impact, very automated, right? That doesn't require much manpower to run the engine. Otherwise, I'm the business. I'm a strong believer that if you don't have this stuff post funnel, you're still the business, right? Or a person is the business. Does this make sense? Now I know if I'm going to go hire another coach, I know exactly the core functions I need from that coach, regardless how good they are. This isn't where it stops. I get super granular with this, right? Where I am now with this is, you know, designing the entire 6-month email sequence for the 6-month program. And we're putting like, put as many cards into the buyer's hands as possible in terms of their success. And you do that, in my opinion, by over-designing fulfillment on purpose. You want to over-engineer outbound communication. I learned that from a very painful lesson. someone said, "Steven, you're doing a great job fulfilling on the offer stack." This was years ago. Right, years ago. They said, "Doing a great job fulfilling on the offer stack, but people want the program on the program also. What they want is this, not just this. They want the experiential piece of going through this just as much as they want the thing." And what I realized is I needed the program on top of the program to be just as designed as the funnel, just as designed as fulfilling the things in there. And this is now we'll automate and design heavily community experience, which I'm going to do a heavy overhaul in this group. Heavy overhaul. I know what to go do with it. I'm building other stuff right now, so I'll get there. Keep following me. I promise some cool stuff's coming. It kind of is the culmination of everything I'm talking about with this, but I hope this has been helpful. Let's go back real quickly to just the core functions. To just the core functions of a business. And hopefully you're starting to see that, yeah, nurture and sales, of course. Fulfillment, I'm showing you how I do that. For me, that's part of how I do retaining. And then we build in resell and upsell into all that fulfillment. So as their program, whether it's a program or an e-com thing, doesn't matter. I'm still building in there the resell and upsell aspects the whole way, right? The lead gen piece is an entire business on its own, right? I prefer organic content and it's all about messaging. Traffic is a messaging problem, not a traffic problem. Traffic exists, so why don't you have it? It's messaging. It's hooks, to be specific, not sales messages. Never lead with your offer in the internet. You lead with a hook. You never lead with your sales message on the internet. You lead with a hook. Very different. And that's what Russell and I, that's what our book is about that we're writing. So anyway, hopefully this is helpful for you to see this. I wanted to just riff on this because when I'm going through Cashflow Mondays with you guys, what I'm doing is I'm walking through three different frameworks in my head. Well, honestly, way more than that, but three core ones. One of them is this one. What core function of their business? If I can tell the funnel's running, then I'm like, okay, maybe just need like better fulfillment and upsell. If the funnel's not up, then I'm going to my funnel frameworks. If they don't even have a funnel and they just have an idea, then I'm not going to my funnel frameworks. I'm going to my build and launch framework, which is not the funnel one. Right. So build and launch is internet launch secrets. That's the 12 parts there. Sales funnel officer is how I design and build funnels from a project management and fulfillment perspective. It's what I'm talking about right here. Right. And then I don't even know how many steps that one is, but it's how I assign everything out, whether I'm going to build it or I'm going to assign it literally to other people to go build. Then this one just as a whole. Right. But that's not really my superpower. I'd say it's really these two pieces. If they have a traffic issue, then I do have a traffic framework that I walk through as well. My writing is getting more and more sucky as time goes. Anyway, guys, you guys are rock stars. Appreciate it. Oh, thank you so much. I thought it'd be kind of neat to share this with you because this is very important to look at when you think of funnels as a whole. And it's something I don't really share too much because if you teach too much stuff, people don't follow it. You know, I know you guys will, but this is really what I've been doing even before ClickFunnels. I've been an integrations nerd. I have so many zaps running, it's ridiculous. but it automates almost everything. It's also how I don't have to hire a ton of people. People make terrible systems. A person is not a system. I'm very bad, mostly on purpose, at managing people. I'm very good at managing processes. And then I give a person, right? I hand the process to a person with expected outcomes. Right, so the process I just designed, there's a scorecard with it. Hey, this system is supposed to have these outcomes and metrics. This is what I expect to happen. And person that I'm hiring, you're running this process, not me. You're not the business either, person. This is the business. People make terrible systems, okay? Because we have a bad day or we need a vacation, and that's great. I'm not throwing rocks at that. I hate hustle culture. And part of the reason is because I automate everything, baby, right? I hate hustle culture because I don't want to hustle. There's a season, but it's a terrible lifestyle. And so when I'm building a company around the funnel, this is really what I'm talking about, is going through those five core functions, putting systems and processes to everything. And then when you hire someone, you know what you're handing them. Hey, your role is these things with this scorecard and outcome. I want those numbers weekly at a minimum. If it's a salesperson, I want them daily. And that, again, how I build the business around the funnel.
You've obviously heard me say how important publishing content is in this internet game. And if you can't tell, I like making content. If you'd like to interview me on your show, summit, podcast, live stream, you name it, you'll find it all on stevejlarson.com. It's about halfway down the page. Also, if you've taken the plunge into live events, I love speaking on stages as well, by the way, go to stevejlarson.com, scroll about midway down the page where it says interview Steve, and let me know what I could talk about that your audience would get the most from. Go to stevejlarson.com and let's chat.